Hello and welcome to the Slow Home Podcast. This is episode number 130 and it's our final show of 2016. Well, our final full show of 2016.
Yeah, this is the hostful to end all hostfuls for 2016.
The hostful to end today's show.
Yes.
Okay. If you can hear some thudding in the background, don't be too concerned. The kids are on school holidays and they're currently playing parkour in the living room.
They're playing that awesome game with pillows on the floor and the ground is lava. Yeah. I remember playing that game.
It's the best.
So good.
So anyway, it's just some light destruction, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, we're not getting, the house is not getting renovated. There's no builders here, it's just the kids.
It's getting, I don't know, unrenovated.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So what do we have in store for this episode?
We have lots. We really want to talk about the year that has been because it has been a big one. I'd almost call it a doozy.
Yeah, it has been a doozy.
But before we get into it, I just want to talk about the beautiful music that the show has opened with. It's a young musician from Nashville. His family listened to the show, apparently, and
it's part of their routine, isn't it?
Which is awesome. And he sent me a message on Facebook a few weeks ago asking if I'd be interested in listening to some of his music, and I was. And I asked him if it was okay if we highlighted this song on the poggy, and he said yes, which is awesome. So his name is Max Marshall, Max with two X's, and I'm going to link to his iTunes store, his website, his Facebook, all of those places on the show notes. But if you want to hear more, and I highly recommend you do because he's got some beautiful songs, just head to maxmarshall.com. So it's Max with two X's, Marshall with two L's.com. And he's great. He's just got such a beautiful, soulful voice. As soon as I heard this song, which is actually called Horticulture.
It's about gardening.
It is about gardening, which just rocks my world. It's fantastic.
It's nice to collaborate with listeners too, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So thanks, Max, first of all, for being generous enough to let us highlight your song, but also for just saying hello and introducing me to your music. It's beautiful. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Awesome. So we're going to get into the year that was and also the priorities for 2017.
Yeah, things are going to be a little bit different, I think, next year. We'll talk about what that looks like for the actual show later on. But I think for us as well, this year's been a big one, but it's also been a very clarifying one, I think. Mm. So I kind of like this period leading into Christmas and New Year I don't always necessarily plan it to be, but it is always a time where we take stock, I think, and come into the new year with, a greater sense of clarity and rest, which is good. I'm looking forward to the rest.
All right, let's get into it.
Mine be like white morning glory. Hours to rain, second guessing the rain. She never did call, never did fall for me.
So the year in review. So I guess we start with like the best bit and talk about the highlight. And I'm going to say the highlight, not the highlights, because if we say we could just get on and just keep going.
It's been a
forever.
Bloody good year. So the highlights could be like 5 hours long.
Let's prioritize the whole show and only, describe one example each.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Okay, Captain Cranky.
All right. So do you want to, what's been your highlight of 2016?
I found this difficult to cut down because there was so many.
Yeah.
But my highlight has actually been yoga. Rediscovering yoga. And it was sort of reignited as a passion through the experiments of this year. March, we did the yoga with Adrian.
Mm.
Experiment. We did her 30 days of yoga. And that was really the reawakening, I think. But then I joined the gym and they do two yoga classes a week, which I've pretty much turned up to every week.
Mm.
And I've just, I've absolutely fallen in love with it. I've had two really, really beautiful teachers this year too, who I've enjoyed like learning from. And I've found it's been quite a while since I have been passionate enough about something that is not related to my work at all to go and research it and read about it and experiment with it and play with it and just really relish in it. And that's what I've done with yoga. And I think the thing, like, it feels like such a cliche to say that that's my highlight, but it has affected every area of my life. You know, health, yes, mental health, absolutely. But it's also helped me in building a meditation practice and in slowing down and tapping into breathing techniques. And, you know, I've been experimenting with yin yoga, which is kind of like a slow restorative yoga. And that in and of itself has been a massive saving grace for me in the last couple of months. So
I don't think, would you say that you would have had your year been without yoga, could have you gotten through it the way that you have?
No.
Because I feel like as you're saying, you rediscover it. I think it reignited your passion for it because you've always been into it. You've always been interested in it.
I've always enjoyed it.
You're very good at it too, by the way.
I can make way at it.
What I think it brought was a balance in your life this year.
Yeah, you asked if I could have gotten through this year the way I have. The answer is no. I could have gotten through the year, but it would have been ugly.
Mm.
And I think yoga has given me skills this year that have allowed me to get through what has been, in parts, quite stressful and quite unusual, I think. It's been an unusual year. And I've gotten through it for the most part without any massive breakdowns. Like, that sounds funny coming from the woman who cried on the podcast for a couple of weeks in a row, but that felt less, that wasn't a bad thing. You know what I mean? I just feel like yoga helped me bring my emotions closer to the surface in a good way, not in a bad way. I felt more emotionally available as well and more accepting of the fact that, I was stressed. Yeah, I was sad. Yeah, I was happy. Yeah, it was an exercise in acceptance, which was very helpful for me. Yeah, it was a big one. What about you?
My highlight was the 1st of January 2016.
You peaked early.
Yep, peaked early. Classic McCallery.
Classic McCallery.
Yeah, I mean, we've described it quite often on the podcast this year, but that was a very important date because we essentially changed our lives on that date.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We realigned a lot of things. We redesigned our professional, excuse me while I just get rid of that fly, redesigned our professional life, our personal life. We prioritized our dreams, I think, this year on that date. It's one of those dates that I will always remember. I will always think very fondly of because it was very transformational.
It was. And the way it happened was transformational. Like, yeah. You know, it just, the way it happened felt natural, but it felt big too.
Mm. And I'm not one to have, you know, New Year's resolutions.
No.
I've never had them before. Well, when I've had them, I've never gone through with them. But
you and everyone else.
I've just never been that sort of person. But it was a great time to, when we were just sitting down, discussing, and then it's like joining the dots. If we want this to happen, this needs to happen. If this needs to happen, you know what I mean? Like, it was that. It's just equally the scariest moment of my life and equally the most liberating.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, when they say, you know, when you run your own business, it's harder in a lot of ways. There's classic.
Yeah, people say, like,
you know, the sayings that people,
I work harder now than I ever have in my life, but I couldn't be happier. And I used to be like,
really? Like, is that really right?
How does that happen?
Yeah. totally get it now.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah.
And now we're the people who are like spouting the cliche and meaning it.
Yeah. But for those that don't know and haven't listened to podcasts, that conversation, basically, we decided to set up our own business. I left my secure,
very secure job,
and started to, you know, make a go of this and living the way we have for this year. So, very, very momentous date that I will remember forever. And it's been a huge highlight. That really has paved the way for 2016 hasn't been a good year for the world.
It's been a rough year for a lot of
people. But for McCallery's, it's been pretty damn good.
Mm.
Life is simple. Horticulture. Life is simple.
So, highlights aside, we all have our low points. What's been your toughest moment of this year or toughest lesson for this year?
There's been a few. I think this year has seen a huge amount of change, as we've just spoken about. And I think it's fairly normal for us to take a bit of time to readjust to that new normal. You know, it's like when you have a baby or you start a new job or you start a business. And for me, it really was the first time in quite a few years that I've worked essentially full time. We didn't necessarily think that I would be working full time this year, but given just what we were just talking about, that's basically what it's turned out to be. And I think for me, the toughest lesson has been understanding that my previous approach to tilting and slowing down needed to change, and it needed to be more flexible in order to still be there when I was working, basically full-time hours. And that was a bit humbling, I've got to say. You know, I would tell anyone and absolutely 100% mean it when I would say, be kind to yourself. You know, you're doing what you can. Take 1 minute a day, take 30 seconds at a time, take one tiny step and you will get there. And I absolutely mean that when I talk to people, that it took me quite a while to show myself the same level of kindness and to understand that I can absolutely continue to live this slower, more intentional way of life, but it needs to look different this mm-hmm. year because of that. And yeah, just I think being the person that I am and the internal dialogue that I have and the stupidly unrealistic expectations that I have,
yeah,
that was a bit of a tough and absolutely worthwhile lesson to learn. And it was a matter of readjusting and re-engaging with the idea of tilting and really throwing myself into that, because it required more tilting and much more heavy tilting mm-hmm. than it has done in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that I'm tipping way over into work for the next 6 hours. And sometimes that means that the kids watch TV when they would never have done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm tipping way into work so that then I can tip way into family.
Yeah.
So then I can tip way into self-care and go to yoga, you know. And it mm-hmm. was really a letting go and a realigning of my standards. Like I dropped my standards in a lot of ways this year, and that's not a bad thing.
No.
It was a really good thing.
Well, it was needed.
It was absolutely needed, yeah. You know, and stuff just goes undone now mm-hmm. and that's okay. No one's died. No one's died from wearing an unironed t-shirt. No one's died from
embarrassment for wearing an unironed t-shirt.
Exactly. You know, but it's been a real journey, I will have to say that.
Mm.
What about you?
That's the beauty about a lesson, right? And
absolutely.
And then you've got to learn something, and that's around that tilting. But
and it was uncomfortable to learn it.
Sure.
But getting yeah. to the other side of it has been absolutely worthwhile.
Mm.
What about you? You've learned a lot of lessons this year.
A lot of lessons, but I think trying to do everything for everyone is something that I have struggled with and probably will continue to struggle with, because I just don't like letting people down, and I don't really like conflict and, you know, that sort of thing. So I, you know, and it's hard now because time is really not on your side at the moment with us.
Mm.
I feel like time is very, very precious entity, and there's just not enough of it. So to do things, you know, don't fit in with what I really want to be doing and what the bigger picture is not necessary, and I just need to sort of stop doing them.
Mm.
And we're going into talking about, you know, guiding principles and things for next year, but I'm really, yeah, it's in my nature to try and finish everything and do everything, but it's just not possible. And that's been the biggest lesson, is that it just can't happen.
Yeah, to see you, first of all, acknowledge that it's not possible and then to start acting as though it's not possible has been a massive shift in you this year. Because you went from, and understandably, I mean, it's not something to be.
Because ultimately, people want to be liked.
Sure. You
want to be liked by people.
Of course.
But, more people the better, but. There's got to be some balance that, you know, you've got to be yourself and be true to yourself.
Yeah, I think for you that the difficulty came from starting your own business together. You have to say yes to things because in the beginning you're building, you know, and I think we saw in the last couple of months a transition away from that say yes to everything kind of mentality of business and say, all right, well, where are we heading? What are we building? What does this look like? Mm-hmm. So that has been like the business side of it slowly shifting. And I think to see you start to stand for something has been beautiful as well.
Yeah.
Because previously, I mean, your work and your personal philosophy weren't at odds, but they also weren't the same thing, you know, and I think to see you start to stand for something and see you do work this year that you've been really passionate about, even volunteer work that you've been really passionate about, has seen you start to stand for something. And it's been amazing to watch, but it's, you know, it's, I don't know, stand for something or you fall for everything. Isn't that the saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's my toughest lesson because I still don't know whether it's, well, I've learned from it. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. I was talking to someone, when was it, last week, in an interview, and she said it's like this, the first step is sort of acknowledgement of whatever it is. You're acknowledging it. And then it's this slow, gradual building of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And you're slowly starting to understand what it is that you're aware of and what it is that you're trying to change and then why and then how. And you, and that consciousness builds really gradually.
Mm.
It's very rare that you have this, like, you know, click your fingers and arrive at this 180 kind of place.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think you should feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Because you've reached that level of acknowledgement and you're building those layers of consciousness.
Thank you.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I know. I felt like, no, I'm not looking at you like anything. That was good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hold the thistles with care. True, how were you more?
This year we had Monday episodes. It's the first year we've ever done Monday episodes, and they were geared all around experiments. So every month we had a slow home experiment where we took a theme and we ran with it for the month. And we had heaps of them, didn't we?
We had 11 of them.
We had 11 of them. We had more than two handfuls of them.
We did.
So we had things like, we already spoke about yoga. We had sugar-free. Mm-hmm. We had journaling. We had
meditation, screen-free bedrooms, 8 hours sleep, random acts of kindness, decluttering, play, slow December, which we did in May.
Yeah.
what else was there? Oh, we did plastic-free July, but that wasn't a full month because we took July off.
We were all away, yeah. So in saying all that, what has been your favourite experiment this year? And why?
Okay. My favourite, this was a close run thing, but my favourite was Random Acts of Kindness. I really, really, really loved that. I loved the level of connection it kind of brought me to other people. And not even like directly every day, but it just opened up this new way of viewing the world that my actions or my responses or my anything can have an impact on other people. And when we start to realize that, to me that starts to show that we are all connected. And for me, that's vitally important in giving a crap about the world and other people. And the flow-on effects are far more substantial than I had imagined.
Is it your favourite because you've kept doing things like that?
Partly, but also just the raw response and the raw emotions that I saw in people were really
incredible. I suppose it's the most amount of impact, right?
Yeah. Mm. And I must admit, the first half of the month, I kind of struggled with I felt narcissistic almost to be talking about it.
Like, you did struggle.
Yeah. I'm like, well, doesn't that make me like a self-serving jerk if I'm like, I'm going to buy a coffee for this person because it makes me feel good? And what I realized is that's a byproduct. That's not why I was doing it. I was doing it to do a kind thing. And if it made me feel good as a result, great. Everyone wins. Like literally everyone wins. Mm. So once I kind of got over that funny feeling, and I always did it anonymously, you know, when I did things like buying a coffee or, you know, whatever, like that was never a, I'm doing this nice thing for you sort of thing, which I think was kind of another way of me dealing with that awkward feeling of it. But I've continued to do that. Probably every week or two, I'll buy a coffee for whoever comes into the coffee shop after me. And it's really nice.
Yeah, good.
And just do little things like that. And even just driving more courteously and letting someone in front of me, like, which all comes back to slowing down too. If I'm in a rush, if I'm always 5 minutes late, then I'm not going to drive like a courteous, mindful person. I'm going to want to get where I'm going as quick as possible. But giving myself a little bit of margin and buffer means that I'm able to do that. I'm able to think, how can I impact someone else positively?
Mm.
Yeah. And just smiling. And I don't know. I just, it has had an effect that I hadn't necessarily banked on.
Yeah. I loved it because you battled with it and you got through it and then you really saw the
worth of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's a lesson too, is that, you know, the things that really make a difference are not necessarily easy.
Yeah. Just because it makes you uncomfortable doesn't mean you should give up.
Yeah.
What was your favorite?
So mine in saying all of that, the real simple one, just not bringing a screen into the bedroom. Screen-free bedrooms. When was that? What month was that?
That was in August.
Yeah, so that was a while ago. Do you know why it's my favourite? Because I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it. And it was so simple but made a huge impact.
It really did. It really did. In terms of, I think,
the quality of sleep that I was having. You know, I always had good sleep, but the quality of sleep that I've got, you know, my ability to just get to sleep easier.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been so nice. Also, I've
You're reading books.
I'm reading books, and I haven't done that for ages because I just picking up a book instead of picking up a phone and a screen is just so much more beneficial to my mental health.
Mm.
Particularly because with running your own business, you're always on.
Yeah.
You're never off, really. So you've got to really try and distance yourself from the office and everything.
About. And working from home too. Our office is in our house. Like we walk past it multiple times a day, whether we're working or not.
That's it.
That's really true, actually.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, for me as well, the impact on my sleep has been tremendous.
Mm. And while I like to think that all of the other experiments I've kept doing, in reality, I haven't really, apart from a few. But the screen-free bedroom I've definitely kept up and will for a long time.
So let's run through them really quickly.
We already have.
No, which ones we've kept up.
Okay.
Just really quickly. So February we did sugar-free. Have you kept that up?
I'm not sugar-free, but I'm sugar min.
Sugar min. You could have said that so many different ways. I'm pretty much sugar-free. Like, I'll occasionally have some chocolate, but...
Yeah.
I will say the last couple of months has been more...
Harder. This time of year, hard.
That's true.
Really hard.
But up until October, you know what it was? It was Halloween.
Oh, God.
Ugh. God, I so do I.
Anyway, let's go through them. Sorry.
So sugar, like I'm going to say I'm still doing it, and you're not, but you eat far less sugar than you used to.
Yep.
Yoga, yes, I'm still doing it. You,
yeah.
Yeah, not daily, no. But you still, you come to yoga with me.
Yep.
A couple of times a week. A
couple of times a week, yep.
Journaling?
No.
No. That poor old journaling got the boot. That was not great. And I don't think that was journaling's
and
fault.
The thing is, like, neither of us had it. We'll talk about our least favourite, but it definitely wasn't my least favourite because I could see the benefits of it, but it was just the wrong time.
The way we set it up when we were trying to do it, all of that didn't fly. So. Meditation.
No, I don't do.
Yes, I do. 8 hours sleep.
Yes.
I'm probably 7.
Don't do it, hun.
No, I don't. No. Okay. No, I don't do it.
There you go.
I get 7 hours sleep, which has always been my, like, normal.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic free.
No.
No. Screen free bedrooms. Yes. Yes. Random acts of kindness.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Decluttering. Well, the minimalist game. That was kind of like a one shot thing. It
doesn't count.
Play.
Yes.
Daily play. You do. And I'm more mindful of it now. But as you guys know, I did struggle with that one. And then we're doing slow December at the moment. And that's just any kind of slow in your day.
Okay, that's pretty good. You,
it's like a 50-50.
Stuck with a lot more, and I haven't tried to do everything.
No, that was never the point. Like, people at the beginning of the year are like, "How is it slow if you're going to jam all these 12 changes?"
It was never meant to be that.
But I will say, every single one of them has had an impact.
Yeah,
and it has changed the way we do things. It just might not be the way we ran the experiment.
I agree.
So with the plastic-free thing, for example, we are much more mindful and we've made changes like reusable produce bags and bamboo toothbrushes and all that kind of stuff. So it's making a difference. It's just slow, which is the whole point. July, so the clock died alive, out like a wind in a bed,
in a hill. Okay, so what was your least favourite experiment? We just listed out the 12. What was the one that you didn't like the most? And we've spoken about journaling. That was a complete fail. Journaling was a complete
fail. It was the only failure that we had.
Because wrong time, wrong place, didn't set it up properly.
Regardless of that, it was still my least favourite. Which is funny because I've always been a journaler. Like, not consistent, but I do love journaling and I've always been a fan of doing your morning pages. But in terms of an experiment, it was my least favorite. And I think, you know what, looking back, hindsight's great. We were traveling at the time and our whole point was doing it as a family while traveling, which is a lovely idea. But just
we were doing so many other things as a family.
Exactly. It just didn't.
The thing is, we were so active. And the times that we got the opportunity to journal, like at home, at the end of a day, we were all exhausted. Mm. It just would have created more problems than we would have benefited.
And also, I'm not a keepsakey person. You're not a keepsakey person.
Do you remember that when we were started it, we were like, so what are we going to do? Are we going to like photograph these pages and like keep them electronically? Or do you remember that? Like, we were struggling.
That's what we were creating, like it was creating a keepsake, which I like the idea of, and I know a lot of people do it and a lot of people really dig that kind of stuff, but we've never done it. It's not like our jam really. So I think journaling in and of itself is fine, but I think the family journaling while traveling, I think there's ways that we could do it that are more our speed, like
video journaling,
or an Instagram hashtag, like a private Instagram thing. Yeah. That we're far more likely to kind of refer back to regularly. What was your least favourite?
My least favourite was decluttering.
Well, okay, why?
Well, we've done it so many times. Like, it's never fun.
It was a struggle because we really had to dig deep.
Yeah. I mean, I see the benefits. Don't get me wrong.
And you enjoy the benefits.
Totally.
Yeah. And you can see that it's worthwhile, but it's not enjoyable.
And I think it was also like we had to record it as well. Like, that was an extra step.
Right.
You know, like when we did decluttered before, we just decluttered.
Well,
we
got on with it. I counted them for the first year.
Oh, well, you did that.
Like an idiot.
Well, I didn't. But whenever I've done it, I've just gone bang, 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 bang in a bag. Well, I don't know how many of that stuff in there, but like it was like 1, 2. Do I count these? Then, like, it was just like.
I think the
added thing about just documenting it all was
I think you also found it stressful because you're like, well, that's got to be 100 things. And we'd count them and it was like 20. You know what I mean? Like you felt like it was.
And I'm sure a lot of people because a lot of people played along with us with that one. They would. I think the feedback was they were the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like it's a challenge for a reason. Yeah. You know, if it was easy, wouldn't call it a challenge.
Mm.
So I can understand why that was your least favorite. And that was also peak work time for you as well, October. That was a really busy month, work time. Mm. We were getting the house painted and stuff.
Ugh.
So it was probably my least favorite year of the month, with the exception of your birthday.
Least favorite year of the month?
Month of the year. Oh, my God.
Life is simple. Culture. Give a whistle.
So, I mean, I think that's kind of puts a bow on the experiments really nicely. We'll talk about what we're going to do for them next year in a minute because we are changing it. We'll talk about why in a minute. There's one thing that I've never officially done before, and it's something that Kelly Exeter has been a big champion of for years.
She has.
And she's rubbed off on me in a lot of ways this year. One of which is I'm going to nominate like a guiding principle or a guiding word for 2017. I've never done it before, mostly because I feel like I've always felt like I would never stick to it and then I'd feel like a failure.
Mm.
But I think I was always viewing it as a resolution kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Kelly really talks about it, and I'll link to a post on her website in the show notes about like a guiding word as simply that. It's just a guiding word. It's almost like another layer to your why, and that's how I'm going to be using it anyway. You know, it's going to allow me to get closer to living in alignment with my why.
Yeah.
So it's really intentionally chosen.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a guiding word for the year?
Yeah, guiding word, guiding two words. Right. And it is just be.
Hmm.
So you can take my application of these two words is going to be varied and vast, but basically it's just be content with what I have, just be present, especially with the kids, which has been another challenge this year, is being them, just having them around while I'm working, and I've got a whole new respect for you and what you've done over the years in that regard. But just be present, be content in the moment, and just be myself as well.
Mm.
Just be myself always, and back myself, go with my gut. That's all I'll say for now.
All right. Okay. I like that one. Yeah.
What's yours?
Mine is say no. Mm-hmm. Say no more, I think. Not say no more, but say no more. That makes sense.
Right.
More of saying
no. Are you a yes person?
Yes.
Mm.
I am. That's something that I've been aware of for a long time. And I think I have struggled in saying no because I believe there's opportunities there. And I also believe there's expectations there. And I believe that if I can, I should, you know. And I still believe that if I can, I should to a certain extent. But what I've discovered this year is I have said yes to opportunities, which have been fantastic, but I've also said yes to things out of fear and out of obligation.
Mm.
And they're the kind of things that I need to question more closely.
Yeah.
So when I'm saying say no more often, it's not going to be a blanket no, but I want that to kind of be my default. And I need to be able to convince myself why my answer should actually be yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've struggled with it because I think it kind of seems a bit selfish. But what I've discovered is that I'm no good to anyone if I say yes to everything. I don't do anything well, and I don't deliver to anyone what they deserve of like my time or my work or my presence, my emotional availability. Like no one gets what they deserve or what they, you know, what they need, including me. So by making no my default, I think I can then say yes to my why more often and do a much better job of living more closely in alignment with that why. And we've done a lot of work this year, I think. We've spoken about it a bit on the podcast, but I've also just done a lot of personal work about really renegotiating what my why is and drilling down to another level of clarity on it. And it's, I think saying yes to too many things means that I can't actually live close to that more clarified version of my why. And that's frustrating. And I think that a lot of resentment comes from that. So by saying no more often, I'm going to be able to say yes to the things that are going to get us there. And I feel okay about that because my why is, it's not self-serving.
Mm.
You know, my why is to make the world a better place. And I can't do that if I'm stressed out of my brain doing 1500 BS things that I've said yes to just because I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
Like I really think
that's a really good one for you.
Yeah.
And I think that Kelly, she had that as her theme for 1 year, about 3 years ago or something.
She's,
I remember,
she's ahead of me.
Yeah. Remember with, Let It Be, one of those episodes you spoke about it. But one of the things that she said was, don't say no, it's more, let me get back to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Because I think we do struggle with saying no. Yeah. We don't want to disappoint people, but that's brilliant. Like that let me get back to you says to you, the person who's being asked, it's okay to say no.
Mm.
Like your response does not have to be yes. You, and it says to the person.
Because it's like you're asking for yes or no.
Exactly.
You're not asking for yes or yes.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And saying that to the person who's doing the asking, they might come to you with fully expecting you to say yes. But you saying, let me get back to you, is like the circuit breaker for them to go, huh, maybe the answer will be no.
Yeah.
And that in itself makes it a, not necessarily easier for them, but, you know, it makes it a clear that that could potentially be the answer. So that's something that I'll be like literally writing on a post-it note and sticking above my computer. Let me get back to you. I'll let you know shortly.
Mine be like white morning glory. Hours to rain, second guessing the rain. She never did call. Every did fall for me.
All right. So that's our priorities and guiding principles for next year. What are you going to do more of and or less of to make that a reality, to make your guiding principles work for you?
I think the first thing I'm going to do more of is more physical activity because when I do that and I get out of my head and become more physically present, I feel more well-rounded. And when I feel more well-rounded, I'm far less likely to just go, okay, well, I have to say yes because they expect it of me. You know, for me, that's kind of a self-esteem thing as well. But doing more yoga, more walks, more like exploring on my feet, you know, more snowboarding, more mountain biking, heaps more snowboarding. But just more physical activity, I know, is going to have an impact on that. And then I'm going to do, and this is kind of related, it's sort of, kind of related. I'm going to stop stressing about doing things to 100%. Like, I'm a bit of an idealist, and when I make a change or when I want to make a change, I'm like, well, why can't it all be 100%? Why can't everything just be, you know, and plastic free, for example? I really have struggled with the fact that it's incremental changes rather than an all out, like overnight, here, everything has changed. And I know that that's an unrealistic expectation of myself, but I still get frustrated when I realize that I'm not making those changes to a full 100% immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a lot less stressing about that.
Yeah, good.
Because, and again, it's one of those things that I absolutely believe and will absolutely tell anyone, incremental change is vastly better than forcing ourselves into this huge change overnight that we're not quite ready for.
Mm.
But I still somehow expect differently of myself.
Yourself.
Which is so stupid.
Yeah.
So there'll be a lot less of that and a lot more just day by day incremental change and a day by day acknowledgement of the fact that I don't have to nail everything all the time.
Yeah.
It's okay. What about you?
My more of will be mental health exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Being more mindful of my mental health. Again, my priority is just be. So I just want to just be more attuned and give myself a break more and let myself, you know, just have those mental escapes.
Mm. What sort of things would you want to do? Like, I don't know. Do you mean meditate? I think
meditation is the number one. And I know it was an experiment and it's one that interests me a lot, but one that I didn't do well enough.
Right.
So I'd like to re-engage with that.
Right.
I guess it's also just having time away from physical location of your office. Getting out and doing things.
Absolutely.
Having alone time as well.
Yeah, which you don't get a lot of.
I don't get a lot. And compared to last year, this year I haven't had hardly any alone time.
Yeah.
So that I think will need to be a priority next year. And things like reading Destination Simple.
There's a few ideas in there that might be helpful.
Which just got delivered today, actually.
It did.
Here it is. Or 113 pages of it.
It's a friendly little book, I have to say.
It fits in my back pocket.
It does. You might have seen a photo of Ben's back pocket on Instagram.
Yeah.
But it's just a, I don't know, it's a friendly little book.
How does that feel to have to be published?
If I'm perfectly honest with you, like a little bit terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool, but a bit terrifying.
Mm.
But I something I always wanted to do. It's much like this year there's actually been a lot of discovering that the things that you dream of don't necessarily look the way you think they're going to look. And that's not a bad thing, but it's a really interesting discovery. I'm finishing. That's optimistic. I'm currently working on my next book and writing it hasn't looked anything like I thought it was going to look.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it would look like a writer's retreat.
Yeah.
Cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
Orderly and
beautiful, romantic.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be drinking lots of tea. For some reason, I'd be using a typewriter.
Yeah, of course.
None of those things is true. When the harvest is there for the drought out there, and our birds sing. Bring out the hope. My garden, she grows. Untold miracles, worthy of fable. My garden, she knows. So that's sort of the end. Did you want to talk about?
I think there's one thing that we need to talk about, and that is to thank each and every one of you for listening to this podcast over the
year. Absolutely. What an amazing year. We hit 1 million downloads early in the year, and we're rounding in on 2 million, which I think early next year we will hit. But, you know, everyone who has ever tweeted at us or sent us an email, anyone who's ever listened, read the blog, supported us on Patreon, visited the website, anything. Anyone who's ever told a friend or a family member about the podcast, I honestly just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because when we first started this on a bit of a whim, I had no idea. People would care about our journey or about slow living and what that looks like in a fast-paced modern world. And To hear from so many of you every week is amazing, because I really do think that we're all doing something that matters, bringing more presence into the world, bringing more emotional availability, bringing more intention, bringing more of an ethical mindset. All of those things, they genuinely have the potential to change someone's day or to change someone's, your own, you know, worldview or your own world. So yeah, I think I really just wish you all happy holidays. Merry Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. Happy New Year. Just have a wonderful break. I hope you get to spend some time by yourself, some time with your family, some time with your friends. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Before we do go and say farewell for the last time this year. Merry Clickamas. I just want to talk really briefly about what's happening. So
what's happening next year?
We're taking a break.
Yep.
We're closing the Jackrabbit FM office as of Friday. We're taking a trying to take about a month off, which is going to be wonderful. And first of all, shout out to everyone at Jackrabbit who has worked so that we can all do that. Everyone's getting a chance to take January off production, which is brilliant.
Yeah, and very important.
And very important. But we are going to be putting out a best of series over summer.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who are new to the show, it gives you a chance to catch up on some of our most popular episodes or the most insightful episodes. Yeah.
They're probably just episodes that have generated the most amount of interest, that
ask questions of people and kind of get us talking.
So there'll be a few episodes released on the Thursday over January.
Yep, all through January. We are taking a break, but we'll be back the beginning of February with a Thursday episode. Monday shows will come a bit after that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to change things up a little bit when it comes to our Monday shows. I think one of the things that we've discovered with the experiment shows is that they've been wonderful, but having to record them virtually real time, I've got to be honest, has been quite challenging.
Yeah, it hasn't been part of our philosophy because we're doing them day to day. We've had to record them
basically
up to the minute, or like the night before
the day before the show goes out,
sort of thing. Yeah,
which has been great because it means we've all been doing it together.
Yeah,
but what we're going to do instead is maybe have like a theme for each month, but then have a mini action or a mini thing that you can try, and we'll be trying them as well. But it's not like this month long experiment. So in February we're going to be walking through like different slow living rituals that you can experiment with, and not all of them are going to be applicable to everyone, but I think for me increasingly slow living is becoming really, it's a practical thing, but it looks different for everyone. So for some people it's, you know, slow food or slow travel or art or parenting or, you know, tree changes or baking bread. But it's what I really want to do is give people practical ways of establishing that slowness in their life. I think we'll talk a bit more about it when we come back from our break.
Yeah, I think our first one will be setting it all up. And
it will, yeah. But that's kind of what we're going to be doing next year going forward. So if you do have like an idea or something you want us to try and talk about on the podcast, something you want us all to kind of give a go together, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
leave a comment or head over to Facebook and, give us a shout out.
We will have a Monday episode, which will be released on Boxing Day for the majority of us. And that's a bonus episode.
It's a special little Christmas present. A bonus episode
for the year.
Just to say thanks.
From ours to yours. Speaking of which, so a happy Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a happy new year. Who is that? Hi, Podpass. Hi, Podpass.
Didn't even tell him to do that.
Jackrabbit
FM. For your ears. Who is that? Hi, Podpass.